Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
That was clever.
Yeah, that was good.
Say hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Aaron Tarlow.
Yes.
The owner of Southern Armory. And, of course, our producer, Chad Ellis, is here as well.
How you fellas doing?
Yes. Hello, hello. So, we've got a great show on tap for you today. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk to Pastor John Michael Brown. If you are a longtime listener to FM News Talk 97.1, you have heard JMB, John Michael Brown, on many of the shows here. Think Tank on the Dave Glover Show. He's been a guest on the Weekend Report. He's been on Dave's show a bunch. And he is a pastor, obviously. He is also a 2A guy. He is him and his friends go and shoot very often as one of their sort of fun activities that they do together. And there's always been a big debate surrounding religion, Christianity, and whether or not guns are something that should be a part of your religious belief. Here's a pastor who enjoys shooting guns, and there are, I think, some out there that would say that guns are anti-God. God is a peaceful God and not a God of war, and guns are tools of war, and therefore guns don't jive with the Christianity or the religious belief. So we're going to get his thoughts on that, his interpretations of the Bible and God's message, and I think it should be a very interesting discussion. It's always a fascinating one.
It is. Thank you, Chad.
No problem.
Technical issues.
Yeah, that whole time Chad was fixing Aaron's microphone.
Well,
that's all right.
Mic.
I can keep talking.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, this doesn't look right. Yeah, so this is actually something that I've had the conversation with the pastor at the church that we go to as well. And it was funny because we just started going there. It was actually maybe a few months before we started this show, right? We'd found this church, and my wife had gone to some other churches, and we were just like, she was like, no. And like some of them were like huge, like big productions and, like strobe lights and like smoke and stuff like that. So our church is kind of like that, but it's not like that, kind of these big mega churches. And I was just like, no. She'd be like, well, we'll try it one more time. Like, yeah. And then she'd be like, yeah, no. So anyway, so we started going there, and we really like it. And so we did like the starting point, I think is what they call it. It's basically like the next step, about kind of get more, get involved with the church and stuff. So we did that. And he mentions in there, he's like, I carry, asking everybody what everybody does. And normally we're pretty cautious when we don't know you,
right?
Sure. on what we do. So normally, we give you like the generic thing, like I'm a fireman and she's a teacher, and we leave the gun shop thing out of it, because we're not going to debate politics with you. So it's just easier that way.
Sure.
So I'm sure that there's other 2A guys out there that are like, yep, I don't even bring it up. Imagine having that as your profession, and you're coming and encountering a bunch of different people. So with all that being said, well, then he's like, he basically talks about how he carries like an LCP, like, every day. And me and my wife kind of look at each other. We're like, what? And, I guess he kind of saw that puzzled look. So he's like now trying to justify it to us. And we're like, oh, yeah. So anyway, in short, I invited him on. And I CC'd you on that email. So
yeah.
I guess this is kind of like a preview of like upcoming shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, do you want to come on the show? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I'm a longtime listener to the DGS. So he's like familiar with who you are and everything else. So, so Sunday, after church, me and my daughter, normally we hang out for a little bit, let the crowd die down. And then we attempt to walk through the parking lot because she's in this very independent stage.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
She will walk to the car herself. And then, I will open the door and then she will indicate she wants to go up. So, so we're just kind of hanging out, waiting for the crowds to die down. He walks up to me and he's like, hey, I was going to email you back or call you, but I figured I'd just see you today. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to come on. Let's do it before I go on my hiatus in July. And I'm like, good, because I'm going in on a hiatus in July, too. So sometime here in June, he's going to come in and
that's great.
For the whole episode and talk with us. But we've got a bunch of great topics him and I have just been kind of discussing casually. And so it'd be a good kind of up and coming. Another show, I think I mentioned to you, I called you one night or texted you. I've got a buddy who's a supervisor for the crime lab for St. Louis County.
Yeah.
And so like everybody's like, crime lab? He's the guy that goes out and investigates the shootings, right? And other stuff. Like, you know, so he's got the big like crime scene van, right? So he's a CSI, so maybe we can rip him a little bit on that. But anyway, so he's going to come in and chat with us, and then he knows the prosecuting attorneys that also prosecute these, what they call them, crimes against persons, right? So it's just their soft language, I guess, for murder, right? And so with all that being said, we should have some really interesting guests kind of coming up here in June, because I was just kind of driving home one night, and I said, hey, I haven't talked to my buddy Dalen in a while, and I just called him out of the blue, and then, you know, we started talking, and I was like, hey, man, you know, we got this show on the radio. Do you want to come on and talk about what you do now? And he was like, yeah, I do. So Dalen's is a really good guy. I've known him for probably...
That's great.
Probably longer than he wants me to admit, you know, 20 years or so. So it'll be a good show. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, definitely go back and get the podcast on 97.1 FM or what your big component of radio...
Radio.com,
yeah. Uh-huh. And you go back and get the old podcast. We talked about a lot of great subjects, but we've got a lot of great ones kind of coming up in the interim, because there's not going to be a lot of laws getting made in Missouri, which was a lot of the spring for us. And then really, you know, we're going to have some national news coming in now, especially with the suppressor stuff going on.
Yeah. And but, there's another, and we'll get to this later in the show. Uh-huh. Also, there's a news story just yesterday out of Capitol Hill, speaking of no laws in the state of Missouri, but stupidity never sleeps in Washington.
Yeah, correct.
House and Senate Democrats have introduced legislation this week that say that they will allow victims of gun violence to have their day in court. So victims of gun violence will be able to sue the gun industry.
Yeah, so...
So we'll get into that.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about that, because I have actually, it's funny, because I have, you know, I'm at home and whatever, and I see these articles kind of flowing through, and I get emails from a bunch of different industry entities, like National Shooting Sports Foundation, which just, it's kind of like the NRA, but just for the industry. And so we can talk about that. But Southern Armory, you know.
That's where we're going next. What's happening at Southern Armory?
Father's Day is coming up.
Yes,
and,
it is.
So we were kind of, you know, discussing, like, what is different for you know, what you could get dad for this year, you know. And my wife's like, huh. And I was like, you know, is there anything like, you know, selling over another, you know? And she's like, no, you know, everybody's like buying ammo, buying holsters. And I was like, huh, you know, and I was like, you know, what sets us apart? And she was like, well, you know, obviously our classes are pretty unique, and we hear that from people constantly, you know, even though they've gone through other CCW classes or other defensive pistol classes. But nobody really has the firearms training simulator in St. Louis, which is one unique thing about Southern Armory. So
yes,
we were going to do a special on that. Buy a half hour, get a half hour for free for dad. And what's neat is you can buy it for dad and then come in and use it with dad. So instead of $60 an hour plus, you know, that additional fee per person, you're talking $45 for a whole hour. So it's discounted down, you know, like 25%.
That's awesome.
And actually probably a little bit more, because, you know, you're talking, you know, third person, etc. So come in and get a gift certificate for that, for sure. And it's really neat, because you can do, you know, the home invader, you can do the carjacking, you can do the workplace shooter.
Right. Or you can shoot balloons.
Yeah, or you can shoot what Piper and I shoot, which is balloon animals, and she loves shooting balloon animals, which, you know, I like. You know, really, she just kind of holds it, and I just press the trigger. But you know, it's a good bonding experience. You know, if me and my daughter are doing it and she's like two, then, you know, your kids that are much older are going to do it.
If you're being very serious about legitimate training.
Yeah. And actually it's funny, we had a lady come in the other day. She had three kids, and unfortunately she's getting divorced, right? So she's going through this thing with the guns and, you know, value and blah, 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 blah. So she came in and she was talking to Jessica about it, which, you know, Jess was more than happy to kind of pull out the blue book and discuss, you know, things with her. And the kids were just kind of running around. And I was like, hey, you guys want to do something fun? And they were like, yeah. I was like, come with me. So I took her three kids, probably ranging in age from, you know, 5 to 10, into the Farms Training Simulator. And we were just playing, you know, on that. And they got a big kick out of the zombies, consequently. Mm-hmm. They were digging that. And then the cowboy shooter and everything else. And they were like, we don't, you know, one was like, I'm not going to share. And I'm like, look, I've got additional pistols. Everybody can shoot. So, you know, they're getting a kick out of it. Adults get a kick out of it. So really, you know, I would say no age is too young. It's a super safe environment. It's a super fun environment, and you just got to try it.
So absolutely,
you can see the demo video on our website, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Or you can stop in and ask to run you know, a scenario or two. Or we're happy to let you get on there and just kind of try it out and see if you're gonna like it and you're gonna love it. I really, really enjoy it. When we first got it, it was like an every night thing. Mm-hmm. I was in there because, you know, we always had a CO2 canister in the gun and it just had to get used, you know, or just go to waste.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be good the next day, baby.
Yeah.
So you know, so
yeah,
I'd be in there. I'd be in there like every night for like an hour after work.
And just throw this thing away.
Yeah. It'd be such a waste. You know? And then and it just became a thing.
Talk,
you know,
about the classes for a minute too.
Yeah, the classes are great. You know, we do the CCW class. We had a great class this past week, and you know, I can only think of a handful of times where somebody's not actually like qualified. And unfortunately, this was one of those weekends. There's only been two instances that I can think of, and the lady, I don't know, you know, how much I want to reveal on air, but just, you know, had a disability, you know, and, you know, as a, being in the fire and EMS, I can generally pick up on her, you know, pretty quick. And she was like wheelchair bound. So we made, you know, helped her as much as I could, you know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, like getting in the booth and, you know, showing her how to load her magazines, and she did great. But you could tell, like, after, you know, shooting a few rounds, she would get weak and have to set the gun down. I was like, dude, just take your time. You know, it ain't a big deal. So she fell short by like one or two rounds. And so I was just, you know, they were funny. I shouldn't say funny, but it was like they were all low in the target because she couldn't pick the gun up high enough. Mm. So I was like, you know, we can, you know, and the targets at the gun range when you're sitting are kind of yep, high, you know. Yep. So I was like, not a big deal. You know, let me take you to a range that we use. It's just our property. We use it for our advanced classes. We'll just go down there and I'll put it, you know, low in the target stand where it's like level with you, or like if you were standing, it would be like a mm-hmm, like more how do I say this, like on the same plane,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
more of a realistic deal,
right.
And then you know, we'll just shoot again and ain't a big deal. So I have confidence that she's gonna qualify the second time around. It's not a big deal. So they just sit up so high, you know, when you're right, sitting, it is what it is.
That's an interesting, so, how often does that, so there are obviously certain qualifications that,
yeah,
somebody has to be able to efficiently perform.
Yes.
Before they are given their CCW,
uh-huh,
license. Is it all pretty, like, the normal person off the street is going to be able to come in and figure it out in the 8 hours of training or whatever,
yeah,
it is?
Or, yeah, between...
Like, what's the percentage of people that don't make it? Is it a tiny, tiny...
We've had 2 in 10 years.
There you go.
So I mean, if you kind of figure it out, we're doing, mm-hmm, you know, a few hundred students a year. You mm-hmm know, if you probably average it out, so you can kind of do the math. When I go down to Clayton,
about the background check, right? I mean, that's the thing that's gonna make,
yeah,
or break it. Usually, once they're in class and you can teach them,
mm-hmm,
you,
yeah,
can teach them.
And really, like, the women are the easiest to teach. Strangely enough.
You said
enough,
that before, yeah.
Yeah, or the people have absolutely no experience. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
They make the best shooters
It's the guy who's got a little bit of shooting experience.
And watched a ton of movies.
Has never been trained properly,
yeah,
that thinks he knows it all.
Right. Yep.
And
you got it.
Can be the most difficult person,
yeah,
to...
You know, they're doing like the cup and saucer, and it's like, you know, the reason your groups are huge is because the gun's kind of rolling around like on a ball. you know, like ball and pivot.
Yeah.
And so
what's a cup and saucer?
Cup and saucer. So like take your hand, make like a fist,
uh-huh,
and then pop that fist kind of like right in the middle of the palm, and uh-huh, it, you know, kind of rolls around.
Uh-huh.
So that's like cup and saucer. Like you would drink a, you know, cup of, you know, cup and saucer.
And that's a bad thing?
It's kind of an old school thing, you know, like old school.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, old 50s, 60s, 70s.
But not something that we do anymore.
No, not anymore. It's not even taught. So
people think that's something that they're going to do. They're going to show up and do it and be like, look, I'm already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I already know about this cup and saucer thing. And
I think if you watch maybe Lethal Weapon, like...
cup and saucer?
You know, the detective, not the...
Danny Glover?
Yeah, Danny Glover.
Yeah.
I can't remember
which one. One of them's Murdoch and one of them's Riggs. I can't remember which one's which, though.
It's Murdoch.
Danny Glover?
Yeah,
whatever. I think he's
Danny Glover. But, you know, he's shooting at the range with his revolver, you know, old school, because Riggs has got the semi-auto, like
right,
Beretta. It's hardcore hardware then, back then.
Right.
You know, today, it's like, you know, your CZ or something.
Right.
So, and he's like, you know, cracks his neck, rolls it around, and then, you know, draws like a smiley face, you know, in the target, you
right,
know, like 25 yards or something ridiculous. So, and that's what people see, and they're like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man, it's movie magic.
That's a movie.
You know,
it's not how that works.
Yeah, not even close. So.
That's pretty funny.
I've tried to do the whole smiley face in a target, and, you know, I can do it in the sim.
Yeah,
once I get warmed up, I can do it in the sim. Doing it with live ammo, it always ends up like lopsided or something weird. You know, I always throw a round or two. I'm like, really? You know, so he's got like one eye lower than the other and a messed up nose. I'm like, whatever. I tried, you know.
That's still pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a good
That's
time.
That's still pretty funny.
Know? I like doing it, you know. I just skirt around, you know.
Right.
Because normally you're hitting them all in the chest and the lungs, so the head's like pristine.
Right.
So.
You're trying to make a smiley
yeah,
face.
Yeah, I am. But you know,
good.
Hey, we'd love to talk to you.
If you're in it,
new to guns, experience with guns. If you know somebody who's just said maybe it's time to get that firearm in case of an emergency, you know, bring them into Southern Armory. We'd love to chat with them. We're located at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270-44, and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
And you can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory, or you can find us on Facebook at Second Amendment Radio.
That's right. Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory on Facebook, two great places to keep up with what's happening at Southern Armory and here on Second Amendment Radio. Also, the radio.com app or 971talk.com to get the podcasts absolutely free so you don't miss any of it. We are going to take a break, and when we get back, we are going to talk to Pastor John Michael Brown. Going to be a very interesting discussion. Don't miss it. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. And welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Chad Ellis, our producer in studio as well. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the phone is Pastor John Michael Brown. JMB, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, brother. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's great to talk with you again. I mentioned earlier, if you've been a fan of this radio station or listening for any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard Pastor Brown on the Dave Glover Show, the Weekend Report, several other places around the radio station here. He is obviously a pastor at a local church. He is one of my pastors. He baptized my daughter, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have the pastor on today to talk about, you know, here we are on Second Amendment Radio very often talking about gun rights and gun mm-hmm. laws. And another thing that we've touched on a lot lately, and Aaron has mentioned about Southern Armory, the store, there are more people seemingly getting into the idea of protecting themselves mm-hmm. with a firearm than ever. And yeah. People that, you know, adults that are in their 50s and 60s and maybe even 70s that
never considered it before.
Yeah, have lived their whole yeah. lives saying, I'm not a gun person, I'm not really interested in that, are now showing up at the store
yep.
and wanting to get trained, yep. wanting to get a firearm, correct?
Yeah, and it's weird because we were even bumping to them, you know, just out and about, you know. It's pretty obvious who we are. We've got a Jeep with the logo on the tire
yep.
cover, and then the license plate says got gun. So We used to, you know, it's funny, we were coming from a doctor's appointment, and we have this little lady crossing the street, and, you know, I stop at the crosswalk, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm just, I don't care, you know, take your time, you know. She's walking across with the cane, and she looks over and smiles at me and waves. And then I guess as she's, like, you know, panning her eyes back down the yellow license plate, says, "Don't tread on me," Missouri license plate, of course. She sees the got gun, and she looks back up, smiles at me, finger guns me, and then points down at the plate. And, you know, my wife, we smile at each other, and, like, she does the old thumbs up and keeps on walking across the crosswalk. Me and my wife look at each other like,
"That's awesome."
Did that, like, 70, 80-year-old lady just, like, finger gun us and give us the thumbs up for our license plate? And
that's hilarious.
My wife's like, "Man, I got to put that on Facebook," you know? Yeah. So she's like, you know, Facebooking about it and everything. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious, you know?
That is hilarious.
It's out there.
John Michael, Aaron was telling a story in the last segment about he just joined a new church about a year ago and has had a couple of discussions with his pastor at that church about carrying, and his pastor also carries a firearm. I talked about how you you know, go shooting from time to time with your friends as sort of a hobby. But there are some people that I think would interpret the Bible or the Christian message as guns are something that you shouldn't have as a Christian or shouldn't be promoting as a Christian, because you know, God is not a God of war. He's a God of peace, and guns are tools of war. So could you just sort of talk about your interpretation of the Bible and why you believe carrying a gun is not going against the Word of God?
We live in a fallen world, first of all, and what God had intended for us is not what we see. And so we actually biblically see God being the one who starts to institute, you know, capital punishment. You know, you take a life, your life will be taken if certain commit certain sins. And people are going to say that's in the Old Testament, but I think you go to the New Testament and you can't find a place where it says that you're supposed to be trampled upon just by criminals. You know, I mean, it's in Romans 13, it says the governing authorities don't hold the sword for nothing. So you have this idea of law and order. So if I was going to, I guess, debate someone about whether or not it's wrong to have a gun, I guess I would go, I guess, to a deeper level. Is it okay to defend yourself? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a boxer, his hands become lethal weapons. So can I not punch someone? You know, can I not fight back? Am I or am I not allowed to defend myself as a human being? I think a lot of what we see when Jesus is passive is for the purpose of being a sacrifice. I've told people that in my own personal life. I'm not going to let you kill me just because I'm black. Two, I'm not going to let you kill me just because you're a criminal. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to make me a martyr, if you want to try to get me to deny Christ, you know, I think that's completely different than the idea of not owning a gun. So, I mean, ultimately, I guess I would say me personally, not owning a gun doesn't stop the police. Am I allowed to call the police, and can they shoot someone who's intruding in my house? So it's kind of like a feel good, you know. I think people they're coming from a feel good approach. Well, you know, God's about love and Jesus is about love and God's not for war. Well, clearly the Bible says God was the one that instituted governments. So if governments go to war, then you have to ultimately look on this side of God's design and desire, meaning man destroyed the perfect world. And God's going to renew it. So I think in the in-between time, we have things like guns. We have things like jails. We have things like tasers and whatever, knives. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. Anybody that says you can't own a gun, well, can I own a knife? It's just kind of their logic is not consistent, because you should really be asking, is it okay to defend yourself? And I believe it's okay to defend yourself. And then secondly, carrying a firearm is, you know, a means by which you can defend yourself.
Right. So I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the whole biblical discussion of you know, and start a Christianity debate. But it's my interpretation. I don't know about yours, but that God, you know, put us here, but gave us free will, and we have our we have ability to make our own choices. He didn't just write a script, and you know, we're going to do what is already written, and we have no choice in the matter. I don't know if you believe that or not, but that's what I believe.
Oh, most definitely. I believe it's free will. So if people can choose wrong, then we have to be able to defend ourselves.
Exactly. That's it. And that's exactly where I was going. If you are given free will, and he knows that there are bad people,
right,
that there are bad elements in this world that are out to turn you, or you know, take you to the dark side, or do you harm, then I would imagine that it's almost your responsibility as a Christian to be able to defend yourself and your family. Would you agree with that?
Oh, most definitely. I was thinking about the story when the captives come back to Israel and they rebuild the wall, and there's these hostile nations all around them. So each worker, while he's trying to rebuild the wall, this security, so it's okay to put up walls. Secondly, they had swords. So I mean, at that time, that's their gun. So the reality of this world that we live in requires some of those things. Now, what good does God get out of a Christian being killed in a carjacking? I mean, that's why I say if it were a case where our government was anti-Christianity, then that's a whole other story. But you're talking about, we live in a world where people do bad things, so it can't be wrong for me not to be trampled upon.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
In a world where there's guns and knives, I think I want a gun.
Right.
You know?
And you're kind of getting into like, this is my justification, Luke 22:36. I had to look it up. I could paraphrase it, but I didn't want to necessarily go too far off. I'll just kind of cut to the point here.
Get you some swords, he said.
Yeah. If you don't have a sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I think the other one I saw was like, you know, sell your cloak and buy a dagger. And I kind of always joke with people. I was like, you know, if they had access to fully automatic weapons back in the day, that's what they would have, because that's really what they're referring to. You know, a dagger or a sword, that was... You know, that was their modern day, you know, musket, you know, and just kind of like how I interpret the Constitution, you know, a musket. They didn't say, you know, single fire, you know, black powder rifle only, you know, in the Constitution. So that's, I kind of look at the Bible the same way. It's a living, breathing document that you can kind of place in modern society and apply to what's going on today, and that's...
It's interesting if you go on, you read that in the garden when Jesus is arrested, one of those swords is pulled out, you know, one of those swords is actually pulled out. I believe that speaks to what I mean by purpose. You know, Jesus didn't want them to fight. He was going to be a sacrifice, but they were carrying these swords around. So Peter had a sword to pull out to actually try to defend Jesus. It just wasn't the purpose at that point in time. I mean, I'm not going to pull out guns and say, you know, bow to, you know, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, or I'm going to shoot you. I'm just saying, hey, I'm not, and I think there's an element of grace. If somebody tries to rob you and you pull out a gun and say, you know, go away, you know, and you choose not to shoot them, I mean, there's an element of grace. I could take your life right now, but I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Do something, make a better choice. You know, make a better choice with your life. So,
yeah,
and part of it too is you know, the whole idea of Jesus being crucified was to get rid of the old sacrificial system of, you know, goats and lambs and stuff whenever you would sin too, because he was the perfect sacrifice. So, you know, a lot of people say what, Pastor?
I said most definitely.
Right. So people don't realize that, you know, he could have literally like rained down sulfur and fire and you know, didn't have to do it, do what he had done.
Yeah.
So it was on purpose.
How about this one? You know, what he could have done then, we read later on, when he comes back, he's not going to bear sin, but he's going to bear a sword. I mean, he's coming back with armies to punish all evil. So, you know, even, you know, we're talking about us living, but God himself will use a sword, rain down, you know, fire from heaven. So for evil, against evil, this is not for personal gain. This mm-hmm. is to punish evil. And that's why I think why it's biblical to have swords, guns, capital punishment, these things that because of evil. So I just think people want to live in this flowery idea that doesn't stand up to logic. You know, that's not logical.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let somebody come and assault your wife.
Right.
And say, well, Jesus doesn't want me to. Exactly. So I have to have a means to defend my wife. If there are guns out there, it's okay for me to have one, too, if I need to defend myself.
Yeah. Right. So we're talking to Pastor John Michael Brown, just a couple minutes to go. Pastor, do you still find that belief prevalent in the church, or as time goes on and, you know, people sort of evolve their beliefs, you know, we get adjusted to this new world and all the evils in it and guns are more accepted? Or do you think there's still a very large percentage of the Christian population that believes that guns are, you know, anti-God?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, as soon as you start, you know, asking that question, I automatically turn to, well, it depends on which political party that Christian belongs to. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, politically conservative Christians, by and large, are perfectly fine with guns, but politically liberal Christians are, oh, you know, it just goes with that territory, you know. I mean, and maybe because they're anti-gun, that's why they're anti-gun Christians. That's why they lean liberal. You know, I don't know which came first.
Yeah, it's the chicken or the egg. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a little bit of the chicken or the egg. Are they anti-gun? Are they bringing the anti-gun belief into their religion because of their political view, or are they bringing their anti-gun belief into their political view because of their religious
yeah.
beliefs? It's like you don't know which is which. But it's still something that I imagine that that people, you know, you have to deal with from time to time when talking to parishioners and, you know, people not only attending church, but other ministers and pastors. I would imagine this is an issue that still crops up.
Yeah, I think some pastors, when you know, some people that are not so gun, you know, when you started seeing, even in this area, I think it was over in Illinois when a pastor got shot in his mm-hmm. in his pulpit. I mean, you got pastors going, "Hey, you know, maybe I'll start carrying a gun." Or they would kind of behind closed doors let the people in the congregation that they knew had concealed carries. Hey, it's okay if you have that. You know, don't tell anybody. But you know, because the bottom line is that it's when your life is at stake, everything changes. It's always fun to be theoretical, you know. Oh yeah, this is what God, you know. We just have to be realistic and we have to be fair. I think with the text, you know, with the biblical text and the concepts that it's representing. Just like we said, the dagger, mm-hmm. the sword. That's their gun. That's their concealed carry back then.
Yeah.
So it's okay. I mean, I don't think you can bring that to a Bible study and say God's against guns. I mean, it's all one of those things. You biblically, God is okay with weapons. Therefore, gun is a weapon. You can't make a direct connection, and the theology should lean more toward that guns are okay.
Yeah, right. And then the other one, like, you know, I carry, you know, a firearm everywhere, and then I carry, you know, a first aid kit and stuff too. And my justification for that is pretty easy. I look at Psalms 82:4, which is rescue.
You're showing off in front of the pastor.
Hey, man, I made some notes. rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hands of the wicked. Right. So, you know, whether it's the, you know, death, you know, like the Grim Reaper, and I'm stopping a bleed or, you know, stabilizing them, you know, or using a firearm as that veil of protection, either myself or family or somebody else.
Interesting last point before we let you go, Pastor John Michael Brown, is who we're talking to right now on the phone. Jesus, in your interpretation, God says, you know, it's okay to protect yourself, you know, with the tools of the day, which would be guns today, and you know, use them if you have to in protection of yourself or your family, your friends. But at the same time, after you've done that, would it be then your responsibility to help the person that you have defended yourself, you know, that you've maybe shot or been in a conflict with? Is it then also your responsibility to help them get medical help, but also spiritual help? Does that fall on you in any way?
I think we're responsible. I mean, we're responsible to bring spiritual help to anybody. You know, I think that's why, you know, personally, I don't see myself as one that would go back and be a combatant in the military, because I would rather take a different approach. I'm not against the military, and I defend people that feel guilty about, I mean, that's not you. You're a soldier. That's what you do. You follow your orders. So I think you're supposed to help anybody. You know, I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately, I was trained well in my concealed carry. I don't plan for there to need to be any help if I were to actually have to pull a firearm,
then sure.
I would stop that threat.
Yes, 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 absolutely. All right, well, that's great stuff. Fascinating discussion. I'm sure we will continue it in the future. Maybe we can have somebody on to kind of present the other side at some point as well, and we can maybe get some...
There is no other side.
There you go.
That's the right side.
Yes, there's only one side, and that's the right side. I appreciate your time today, Pastor John Michael Brown. We'll talk to you again real soon.
That's great, brother.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
We got to take a break, but we're not done yet. More Second Amendment Radio coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1. What's so funny? White people singing?
White people.
Well, of course not.
I wasn't going to go there. I think he was maybe
high notes.
I think he was kind of laughing because it was like, I missed the earth so much, I actually miss my wife, you know, which is funny. So I was telling you guys, like, when he had queued this one up, like, earlier, I was like, I got a really good story about that. So it was... you know, I remember traveling with my dad and stuff, and that was a song I remember my dad really liking. And so after he had passed away, I was cruising down the road, and that song came on, and, you know, the flood of memories came back. So it's one of the songs that I've got.
That's cool.
on my iPhone and my cool. and my music. So
yeah, yep.
That's a couple good songs. So
absolutely.
We play that every once in a while.
Chad, you're probably too young for this, but are you at all familiar with the William Shatner version of Rocket Man?
No, I just know Elton.
Oh, well. Do you know who William Shatner is?
No.
He's
Star Trek.
The first captain on Star Trek.
Really?
He's James T. Kirk.
Yeah.
The captain of the Starship Enterprise.
True
the
story.
The old show from like the 60s.
You watch Family Guy?
Sometimes.
William Shatner's done a couple of things on there.
Well, anyway, Shatner is famous for a very distinct style of acting.
Yes.
And
just like what I did.
Just like what he just... He's very like this when he delivers his lines.
Dramatic.
Kind of over... Well...
Yeah,
he did a version. He sang Rocket Man at some event years, decades and decades ago.
It's pretty funny,
and it's pretty ridiculous.
Maybe next week,
something for you to check out. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Big thank you to Pastor John Michael Brown. Great discussion, fascinating stuff from the pastor in the last segment, discussing whether or not carrying a gun is okay with God, with your with the beliefs of Christianity. And that is a debate that the pastor has talked about, that he's had with parishioners, people attending the church, with people within the church, other ministers and pastors. It's kind of it's still a thing. There are many that believe that if you are a Christian, you don't carry a gun because guns are tools of war, and God is a God of peace and not war. And then There are others, like John Michael, who believe it's your Christian not only right, but duty to protect yourself and your family, and has scripture to back up his beliefs. So if you want to hear that, you can always go back and download our podcast absolutely free. Go to 971talk.com, our website, click on podcasts, download the podcast that way, or download the radio.com app, which is also absolutely free, and you will have access to the radio station 24/7. You can stream it, and you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, including Second Amendment Radio, also absolutely free. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory, both on Facebook. Just a couple minutes to go here, because we went long there with John Michael.
Totally.
But we'll probably talk about this a little bit more in depth next week. But Democrats in Congress this week have introduced a bill that would allow shooting victims to sue the gun industry. So, for example, if you are unfortunately in one of these tragedies, you would not only be able to seek justice from the person that was doing the shooting, but you would be allowed to sue the gun maker. It would be exactly like if you were in a drunk driving accident.
Yeah. Now you
not only could you seek justice from the person that was drunk driving, but you could also sue Ford or Chevy or Chevy, whatever kind of car they
and
were
then,
driving.
You know, maybe expand that to, you know, well, you know, the department didn't have enough officers on patrol for the DUI, DWI, or whatever. Or they didn't issue enough tickets proportionally to every other department for that type of infraction, so therefore they're just as guilty. We all know, like St. Louis City, for example, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but you know, the state patrol came in and started enforcing the traffic side of things, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Missouri State Highway Patrol did such a great job that they overwhelmed the courts, right? Mm-hmm. And that was big news here. So, I mean, where do you draw that line, right? And, you know, you kind of look back, you know, like in the aviation industry, right? And that was the big thing to do, you know, back in the day, was somebody would wreck an airplane, even though it was pilot error, you'd go and you'd sue, you know, Beechcraft or Piper or Cessna.
Yeah.
So this isn't like a new concept, right? We're just going to demonize, you know, the people that made the item in the hopes we're going to bankrupt them. And
exactly.
And that was
exactly it.
That was successful in the aviation industry, where it did definitely hurt them. That's why we have the new Piper Corporation, amongst other things. And so now you kind of look at where we're at now. Well, now there is protection, you know, built in, where, you know, you're not going to be able to sue people for you know, using products maliciously.
Yep.
and not the way they were intended. So this is exactly what the families of Sandy Hook, I feel horrible for them. Don't get me wrong. I remember exactly where I was when I found out about the shooting. I was on my way to Kansas City for a gun show, consequently, and that gun show was completely crazy because, mm-hmm. you know, the shooter used an AR-15 and everything else. So the families there were suing Remington, and a court said you could do it, and
yep.
then a higher court, you know, overturned it and said you couldn't do it. And now lawmakers are going to try to basically, you know, overrule that particular court's decision.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting. I think it's if they pass it, if Trump signs it, or let's say they get it through on a veto override, then, you know, the Supreme Court maybe will decide, you know what they're going to do.
I can't imagine. Maybe it'll go. I can't imagine it gets that far.
No,
I hope
I
it
think
doesn't.
It's, but I think it's just a political talking point for the upcoming 2020
and to
election.
To your point, it's just another option, another route that they can try to attack the gun makers, try to bankrupt them, and continue to damage the gun industry.
Right.
We got to leave it right there, but don't miss next week's show. Of course, every Saturday at 3:00, and follow along on Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. For Aaron Tarlow and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
You biblically, God is okay with weapons. Therefore, gun is a weapon. You can't make a direct connection, and the theology should lean more toward that guns are okay.
Yeah,
right. And then the other one, like, you know, I carry, you know, a firearm everywhere, And then I carry, you know, a first aid kit and stuff too. And my justification for that is pretty easy. I look at Psalms 82:4, which is
rescue. You're showing off in front of the pastor.
Hey, man, I made some notes. rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hands of the wicked. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it's the, you know, death, you know, like the Grim Reaper, and I'm stopping a bleed or, you know, stabilizing them, you know, or using a firearm as that veil of protection. Either myself or my family or somebody else.
Interesting last point before we let you go. Pastor John Michael Brown is who we're talking to right now on the phone. Jesus, in your interpretation, God says, you know, it's okay to protect yourself, you know, with the tools of the day, which would be guns today. And you know, use them if you have to in protection of yourself or your family, your friends. But at the same time, after you've done that, would it be then your responsibility to help the person that you have defended yourself, you know, that you've maybe shot or been in a conflict with? Is it then also your responsibility to help them get medical help, but also spiritual help? Does that fall on you in any way?
I think we're responsible. I mean, we're responsible to bring spiritual help to anybody. You know, I think that's why, you know, personally, I don't see myself as one that would go back and be a combatant in the military, because I would rather take a different approach. I'm not against the military, and I defend people that feel guilty about, I mean, that's not you. You're a soldier. That's what you do. You follow your orders. So I think you're supposed to help anybody. You know, I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately, I was trained well in my concealed carry. I don't plan for there to need to be any help if I were to actually have to pull a firearm.
Sure.
I would stop that threat.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. All right. Well, that is that's great stuff. Fascinating discussion. I'm sure we will continue it in the future. Maybe we can have somebody on to kind of present the other side at some point as well, and we can maybe get some.
There is no other side.
There you go.
That's the right side.
Yes, there's only one side, and that's the right side. I appreciate your time today, Pastor John Michael Brown. We'll talk to you again real soon.
That's great, brother.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
We got to take a break, but we're not done yet. More Second Amendment Radio coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
What's so funny?
White people singing?
White people.
Well, of course not.
I wasn't going to go there. I think he was maybe
high notes.
I think he was kind of laughing because it was like, I missed the earth so much, I actually missed my wife, you know, which is funny. So I was telling you guys, like, when he had queued this one up, like, earlier, I was like, I got a really good story about that. So it was... you know, I remember traveling with my dad and stuff, and that was a song I remember my dad really liking. And so, you know, after he had passed away, I was cruising down the road, and that song came on, and, you know, the flood of memories came back. So it's one of the songs that I've got.
That's cool.
On my iPhone and my and my music. So that's a couple good songs. So
absolutely,
we play that every once in a while.
Chad, you're probably too young for this, but are you at all familiar with the William Shatner version of Rocket Man?
No, I just know Elton.
Oh, well. Do you know who William Shatner is?
No.
Star
Trek.
The first captain on Star Trek.
Really?
He's James T. Kirk.
Yeah.
The captain of the Starship Enterprise.
True
the
story.
Old story, the old show from like the 60s.
You watch Family Guy?
Sometimes.
William Shatner's done a couple of things on there.
Well, anyway, Shatner is famous for a very distinct style of acting.
Yes.
And
just like what I did.
Just like what he just, he's very like this
very,
when he delivers his lines.
Dramatic.
Kind of over, well, he did a version. He sang Rocket Man at some event decades ago.
It's pretty funny,
and it's pretty ridiculous.
Maybe next week,
something for you to check out. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Big thank you to Pastor John Michael Brown. Great discussion, fascinating stuff from the pastor in the last segment, discussing whether or not carrying a gun is okay with God, with your with the beliefs of Christianity. And that is a debate that the pastor has talked about that he's had with parishioners, people attending the church, with people within the church, other ministers and pastors. It's kind of a it's still a thing. There are many that believe that if you are a Christian, you don't carry a gun because guns are tools of war, and God is a God of peace and not war. And then there are others like John Michael who believe it's your Christian not only right but duty to protect yourself and your family, and has scripture to back up his beliefs. So if you want to hear that, you can always go back and download our podcast absolutely free. Go to 971talk.com, our website, click on podcasts, download the podcast that way, or download the radio.com app, which is also absolutely free, and you will have access to the radio station 24/7. You can stream it, and you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, including Second Amendment Radio, also absolutely free. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory, both on Facebook. Just a couple minutes to go here, because we went long there with John Michael.
Totally.
But we'll probably talk about this a little bit more in depth next week. But Democrats in Congress this week have introduced a bill that would allow shooting victims to sue the gun industry. So, for example, if you are unfortunately in one of these tragedies, you would not only be able to seek justice from the person that was doing the shooting, but you would be allowed to sue the gun maker. It would be exactly like if you were in a drunk driving accident.
Yeah. Now you
not only could you seek justice from the person that was drunk driving, but you could also sue Ford or Chevy or whatever kind of car they were driving.
You know, maybe expand that to, you know, well, you know, the department didn't have enough officers on patrol for the DUI, DWI, or whatever. They didn't issue enough tickets proportionally to every other department for that type of infraction, so therefore they're just as guilty. We all know, like St. Louis City, for example, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but you know, the state patrol came in and started enforcing the traffic side of things, right? And then the Missouri State Highway Patrol did such a great job that they overwhelmed the courts, right? And that was big news here. So I mean, where do you draw that line, right? And you know, you kind of look back you know, like in the aviation industry, right? And that was the big thing to do, you know, back in the day, was somebody would wreck an airplane, even though it was pilot error, you'd go and you'd sue, you know, Beechcraft or Piper or Cessna.
Yeah.
So this isn't like a new concept, right? We're just going to demonize, you know, the people that made the item in the hopes we're going to bankrupt them. And
exactly.
And that was exactly it. That was successful in the aviation industry, where it did definitely hurt them. That's why we have the new Piper Corporation, amongst other things. And so now you kind of look at where we're at now. Well, now there is protection, you know, built in, where, you know, you're not going to be able to sue people for you know, using products maliciously.
Yep.
and not the way they were intended. So this is exactly what the families of Sandy Hook, I feel horrible for them, don't get me wrong. I remember exactly where I was when I found out about the shooting. I was on my way to Kansas City for a gun show, consequently, and that gun show was completely crazy because, you know, the shooter used an AR-15 and everything else. So the families there were suing Remington, and a court said you could do it, and then a higher court, you know, overturned it and said you couldn't do it. And now lawmakers are going to try to basically, you know, overrule that particular court's decision.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting. I think it's if they pass it, if Trump signs it, or let's say they get it through on a veto override, then, you know, the Supreme Court maybe will decide, you know what they're going to do.
I can't imagine. Maybe it'll go. I can't imagine it gets that far.
No,
I hope it doesn't. But
I think it's just a political talking point for the upcoming 2020
and to
election.
To your point, it's just another option another route that they can try to attack the gun makers,
yeah,
and try to bankrupt them and continue to damage the gun industry.
Right.
We got to leave it right there, but don't miss next week's show. Of course, every Saturday at 3 o'clock, and follow along on Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. For Aaron Tarlow and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.